in the next few chapters, ask for the ark to come to Jerusalem. Everybody heard about the blessing of God. Everybody heard about Obed-Edom. He was slowly becoming number one. In 3 months, he became the head and not the tail. The whole city knew about Obed-Edom. They said, Obed, oh my, the ark in his house. The first day, everyone felt sorry for Obed. The first week, everyone wondered when Obed is going to die. But after the second week, the third week, the fourth week, everyone is saying, Obed is so blessed. And after 3 months, he was so blessed. In 3 months, he probably was more blessed than he has ever been for the 30, 40, or 50 years of his life. And David was getting envious. And David decided to bring it. And that day, when David took the ark out of Obed-Edom's house, I could see the tears in Obed-Edom's eyes. It was now different. Because now he missed the ark. He knew why he was blessed. It was God's presence. And they were all sorry to see the ark left. And that day when the ark left, Obed-Edom and his whole family could have cried. Oh, how they missed the ark. And you know the story of Obed-Edom? After the ark left Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom can never forget the presence of God. And later on in the list of the people in the 24-hour worship that David set, and among the singers and the choirs and the names there, you will find the name Obed-Edom. Because Obed says, I can't live without this. I can't live without this blessing. Now I know what the blessing can be. I can't live without. And when David had set up his stand and everything, that day, maybe the next day or so, Obed-Edom must have come. You know, in those days, not all the pieces of furniture were together yet. So they could visit the ark wherever it was enclosed in a tent. They can't go in, but outside the tent. And he would stand outside the stand that he used to stand outside in his house. And he must have told God how he missed the ark. How he missed their presence. Later on, he was one of those names. One of those people who stand by the presence of God. Say, brethren, the church of Jesus Christ doesn't know. Like Obed-Edom and David never knew. The blessing of being a worshipper of God. I will guarantee you, when we begin to learn to worship God, the Bible says in John chapter 4, God seeks such to worship Him. And when you start giving time to be a worshipper of God, and you see the blessings that God brings when you become a worshipper of God. In fact, to be a worshipper is a higher call than to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's the highest call God can give any human being. When He says, come and worship me. And remember one of the blessings that God gave to those who overcome in Revelations 2 and 3? He said, to him who overcome, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. You remember that promise? It's found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You read the seven churches, among the overcome coming promise, to him that overcome will make a pillar in the temple of my God. That doesn't mean literally that when you go to heaven, he just make you into cement. And in heaven, for 10,000 years, you're just a pillar. The meaning is that he makes you into a worshipper. One of those chosen to be very close into the true heavenly temple up there. To be a worshipper. And that is the highest call. The highest reward that God can give anyone. And the good news, we'll close with two New Testament scriptures. One is from the book of Acts, chapter 15. Just read those two scriptures. Acts 15 is a prophecy about the restoration in verse 16. Acts 15 verse 16. After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. That refers not to Israel as a nation, although part of the prophecy is fulfilled in that. But the other part is, if David's prophecy is just that he become a political leader, we'll miss the point. David's leadership was not him as a political leader, but as a spiritual leader of Israel. He brought the ark into the center of the people's life. And the restoration of the tabernacle of David is a restoration not just of Israel as a nation, but a restoration of the worship of God. The prophecy has a dual fulfillment. Fulfillment in Israel as a nation when the temple is restored, and fulfillment in the church when worship is restored. When the worship of God was restored to the highest state that the church has. And that's the fulfillment. You see, it is when David set up all the worship to God that Israel became a great nation. When they read spiritually, everything else, politically, everything else came about. And after David and Solomon, every time Israel reaches greatness, under Hezekiah, Uzziah, Josiah, under all the good kings, it is when the good kings restore the temple. Every time they restore the temple and institute the worship again, Israel became great again. That tells us something. We must not miss the main message in the Old Testament. And no matter how impoverished they had become, you know, there are good kings and bad kings that came after Solomon. The kingdom was split into two. And all the northern kingdom were bad kings because they instituted false worship. But the southern kingdom, some were good kings, some were bad kings. And every time a bad king came, they killed and ruined everything. They impoverished the whole nation. And can you imagine inheriting a bankrupt nation? But no matter how bankrupt it was, when the good king set his heart to restore the temple, the tabernacle of David, the temple of Solomon, and began to restore worship, no matter how bankrupt they were, they became great again. And they became wealthy, strong again. That is the pattern of God. The same way the call of God for the church is to be a worshipper, the second scripture that we want to see is found in Peter. The epistle of Peter. First Peter chapter 2 verse 5. First Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The call of God for the church, First Peter 2 verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. See, all of us are priests and kings in Him. We know the meaning of being kings in God. That means we take authority. But do you know the meaning of being a priest? We all have what we call the priesthood of believers. Every one of us are called to be kings and priests. That's found in Revelation chapter 1. We're all kings and priests in Christ. Kingship refers to us taking dominion and authority over the realm that of our influence. But what about priesthood? Most of the time we see priesthood as intercession. But there's more than that. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in other cross references you'll find in verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That, what's the purpose? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That, brethren, is our call as a church. And you know when the body of Christ will be perfected? It's when praises and worship go to Him every day. And the closer we reach that time, and that is why today God is revealing not just to us, but to many Christians all over the world. And there's a desire God is placing in their life today to set up 24-hour prayer and then 24-hour worship. You know why we're heading that direction? Because that is God's call for the church. And the closer we are to the coming of Christ, the more perfect we begin to function in that realm. And the church of Jesus Christ will reach its greatness when we institute worship to the place where it should be. The number one ministry of any church is to worship God. Not evangelism. Evangelism is important, but it's not number one. Because what's the point of evangelizing and then you bring the people, they don't know what to do? You will lose them again. But when the church finds out what it's supposed to do to be a real worshiper of God, you can evangelize to your heart's content and everyone you bring will stay because they get into God's presence and they learn their true call to be a worshiper of God. God is seeking such. We may not be there yet at 24-hour worship, but right now, in our hearts, we need to learn to start spending time to worship God. Every day, every week, just to worship God. And a little bit here, a little bit there, all it takes to begin to build that worship of the glory that God has for your life. And like Obed-Edom, when the ark comes into your heart and into your life, it will be the beginning of a new realm of blessing like you've never tasted before. Let's pray.